So today's sermon is taken from the book of Luke. It's verses 39 to 56. So I'll read from the PowerPoint in English. You can look at the Chinese text if you're reading that. In these days, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country, to a town in Judea. And as she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth, and when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb because she was carrying John the Baptist. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, he has scattered the proud with in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He has spoken to our fathers of Abraham and his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her, Elizabeth, for about 3 months and returned to her home. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, as we look at Mary's response and Mary's words, we ask that you open our hearts and our thoughts to what it means for us today. All this I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, good morning. Although it's a bit early, I'm not sure if you've started thinking or you've started saying, "Oh, thank goodness 2020 as a year is going to be over." Maybe you, like many people, have said that it's actually not been a very good year. So if you Google for the top words for 2020, as I did, some of the usual suspects would come up. Yeah, so you find COVID. Top words would be things that people have spoken about. You find on social media, people are writing about. So they'll be talking about things like COVID, pandemic, mask, social distancing, maybe things like lockdown. Locally, we call it a circuit breaker, and maybe even quarantine. So that's us, our contact for this year. Now, let's switch our minds back to the passage today. If you, in the times of the Jew and Mary in Nazareth, what would be on your mind? So, you would be in a small town. Nazareth had a few hundred people, 500 or 600. And you'd be thinking, because you'd be in a farming community, you'd be thinking about the weather and climate, because that affects your crops. You'd be growing things like grain, olives, and grapes. You might be worried about taxes. Being quite poor, you may have to pay up to half your income in taxes, and that's quite crippling. And there was also a lot of interest in politics, who is in power. And on top of this, if in Nazareth your name happened to be Miriam, named after the sister of Moses, more commonly known as Mary, you also might be thinking about a virgin birth that you've just been told about via an angel called Gabriel. So today's message is based on Luke 1, 39 to 56, and specifically there's a passage where Mary responds. It's called the Magnificat. That's quite a famous term of it. And why is it called the Magnificat? It's phrased after the Latin version of what she says starts with Magnificat anime in dominum. So my soul does magnify the Lord. So what's so important about the song, apart from the fact that Mary says it? So this is the oldest Advent hymn that we know. And why is Mary bursting out in song? Is this Nativity, the musical version? Why is this such an important song? Interestingly, if you scan the Bible, we know that Mary, mother of Jesus, is an important figure, but she doesn't really say very much. So if this was really a musical or play, she would maybe not have much of a speaking role. There are mentions of Mary, plenty. You can see, for example, she was at the foot of the cross when Jesus was hung. But in terms of speaking part, the passage today is by far and large the most that we hear from her. Yeah. So I've put in the slide the six other places where she speaks. So today, what she speaks is in response to what Elizabeth has said to her. So the situation is that Gabriel has told her that she is going to be pregnant with Jesus. And when she hears that, she goes to the hills of Judea to her elderly relative Elizabeth, who has also been told that she'll be pregnant with John. And when they greeted each other, little John the Baptist kicked Elizabeth with joy. And then Elizabeth said, as you can see on the text, she says, "Blessed are you among women, Mary." And in exchange to that, Mary then says what she does, which is, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." So that's the start of it. In Christian circles, we might not be so familiar, but if you're Catholic, then this would form part of something called the Hail Mary. And my Catholic friends, I grew up in a Catholic school, would be saying the Hail Marys every day together with the Lord's Prayer as part of their normal prayers. There's a tradition of that. And in looking at this phrase today, we're going to look at it at a few layers, what it may have meant to Mary and what it have meant to the people around her and then to us today as well. So it was quite a dramatic scene, two women meeting each other, one baby kicks and the other lady shouts for joy. She responds in great joy. Yep. So there are some themes for us broadly of the Magnificat. So one of the themes is how Mary responded in joy. Another theme is how Mary says she is blessed. And she's blessed because why? God has seen it fit to use her. God has raised her up. So she is a poor and lowly peasant. And when she knows of this good news, and Elizabeth reminds her, "Hey, Mary, you are blessed. I'm blessed that you have visited me." She affirms, "Yes, indeed, I really am blessed." So one of the reflections useful for us might be, actually, it isn't really about Mary. The passage we see is what happens to Mary, but it reflects onto what God is doing in her life and in the life of the Israelites. And that has implications on us as well. Now, the historical Mary herself isn't really very exciting. We may think of, when we hear songs like Ave Maria, that Mother Mary was a very fragile snowflake, very gentle, all artsy. But actually, that wasn't the case. The historical Mary was a peasant class. So she would have been the 90% that lived in grinding poverty. Being a woman, she would have spent about 10 hours a day doing her chores. So if you complain about your endless laundry, having to prepare meals, well, that was her life. Maybe going off to the well to draw water, washing utensils. Yeah. She probably lived in a house with quite a few other people, an extended family. And because she came from such hard stock, she was quite fit enough to, after she heard about from Gabriel about the virgin birth, she went off to the hill country. So you can see there, let me try this. Yeah, you can see there that she was in Nazareth, and then she went off to Judea into the hill mountain. That's about 3 to 5 days of traveling time. We're not told whether she was accompanied, so you can imagine her walking alone to 3 to 5 days up the hill to visit her relative. So not a pretty tough lady all in all. Now, Mary wasn't just a peasant. She was also part of what could be termed the poor ones. And the poor ones is not just a phrase that means materially poor. So that term derives from a Hebrew term. The poor one means those who were poor in spirit. So that phrase might ring a bell, poverty of the spirit. Yeah, it's true most of them weren't very materially poor because they were peasants and farmers. But the poor in spirit, or the poor ones, that Hebrew phrase, are people who are looking to God. So they're known from detachment from current day events, because they trust in God and their promises. So they're not holding the current day that tightly because they are aware that in the future, God will have greater things in store for them. They believe that God will come true for them. And that's why sometimes they're called the so-called remnant. Yeah. So that's why Mary, being of this group, she is very aware of what God's promises were. She had a posture of waiting. And when that promise finally comes true, that explains her joy. She's been waiting and God has done what He had said He would. So this idea of the poverty of the spirit may be helpful for us today, that as we are humble in our spirit, it's because we empty ourselves out to God and we look to Him for better things, not just the things of today. And for Mary, we've already said it's not about Mary. When the news comes to her, she is very clear. It's not about me, but it's what God has done for me, through me. So it's not about me, but about Israel. And finally, it's not just about timeline. Maybe you talk about scenario planning in your corporate life. It's not about the here and now, but this has implications for the forever, the longer term. The poor ones that I mentioned, when we say that Mary was waiting and longing, she wasn't alone. So she was in pretty good company, and I'm just mentioning a few other people. When we think about people who burst out in song in the Bible, those who've been waiting and longing, there are a couple of other names that you can check up. One of them is Hannah, who was told she was barren, and when God finally gave her a son, she also sang in praise. She was so joyful. God has redeemed me. Finally, I'm vindicated. So that's one is Hannah, and another one would be that of Zechariah. Sorry, the slides are, yeah. So the pictures there are Hannah, Zechariah, as well as Simeon. You can look them up. All examples of people who are waiting for God to do something. So Hannah, God had given her a child. For Zechariah, it was when he, in his old age, also got a son, John the Baptist. And finally, Simeon, the old man on the extreme right, the Holy Spirit had told him that before he died, he would see the Christ child. And finally, when the Lord Jesus was brought to the temple to be baptized, he also sang in joy because he said, "Finally, my eyes have seen." Okay. So these are some examples of the poor ones. And they would have also embodied the same idea, not just about me, but about God. Not just about the now, but also for the forever. And the other thing that we can note about the Magnificat, if you could help me with the slides, seems to be hung. So the other thing about the Magnificat is that we know that it's about God, but specifically, what is it about God that it tells us? What it tells us is that God will use the poor, that He remembers the poor, and that He will raise up the poor as well. Could I have the next slide? Yeah. So that the poor are lifted up and will be raised up. And Mary reflects this because she herself, who is a poor peasant girl, has been able to come out and God has chosen her to be used in this special way. So the Magnificat, for all its personal praise elements, is also very important in history. It's been called a revolution. A revolution because that's when we hear again and again that God will take the poor and the weak and remember them and help them and raise them up. And this element of raising up is seen throughout the verse. Could I have the next slide, please? So you see in the passage all the words about raising up, Mary rising up, going to the hill country, the baby John the Baptist rising up in Elizabeth's womb, and then Mary herself says that the humble are exalted, they're brought up or risen up. So this phrase or this song has often been used by people in history to talk about, to identify with when they are the ones who are oppressed or they are very poor. And it's quite ironical that they identify with Mary, who herself was very marginalized. She was poor and young and unmarried and a woman, all these minority figures. Go ahead, the next slide. So the Magnificat has been, I said, used throughout history. I've just listed one person that has mentioned it. The theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you may remember him as the one who was very anti-Nazi. In the end, he was executed tragically only a few days before the Nazi reign ended. He had a lot of things to say about how the church should be active in society, but his quote here is about how the Magnificat, to him, was one of the most passionate, wildest, and the most revolutionary hymn ever sung. It spoke to him very much about what God wanted to do, to lift up the poor and to help them. If you read more about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you would know he wrote a famous book called The Cost of Discipleship, and his influence is very broad. He, in later years to come, the likes of the civil rights movement, Martin Luther, anti-apartheid, anti-communism, they all drew from his ideas, so they are still very well and alive today. In 2020, you may have seen incidences. There's a lot of stuff in news that talked about this, helping those who are oppressed and poor, just like Mary spoke about in the Magnificat. So we come back to Mary and some things that we can learn from her. So we can see that Mary was one of those who was poor in spirit, not a bad thing, poor in spirit, looking to God. And when God came through for her, she was joyful in hope, and she expressed that in her song. Blessed am I among women, how can it be that God has done this for me? And the other thing to remember is that we are seeing her at one slice in time now. So even after she's been told by Gabriel and she's rejoiced, there's a long journey more to go. Not just because she hasn't had her child yet, but even after Jesus was born, it wasn't an instant salvation. It was all in a process, and she patiently and obediently waited. So for us today, some reflections that we might be able to take away from it. So in Advent, maybe it's for us a season in humility, remembering the coming of our Lord Jesus, that we remember to humble ourselves as well, even as Jesus humbled himself to come in the form of a man. And we know that as God rises up to help the poor and the lowly, we too need to partner God in the same work. So we remember the term, the poverty of the spirit. Christmas is a time of celebration, it is true. There's a lot of excesses and there's a lot of rejoicing. But we also remember what it is that we really rejoice and rely on as we cling on to God and his promises, to empty out our spirit so that we may fill it with the things of God. And in this, we have the ultimate example of the Lord Jesus Christ, the baby in the manger, who, being in the form of God, emptied himself up to take the form of man, that he would come and be with us. So poverty of the spirit, emptying out. So let us, in this season, think about what if that's something that we want to focus on for ourselves. It is also a season of obedience. It's been mentioned, I think Pastor Enoch said last week, that when Mary got the news that from Gabriel, her response was, let it be it unto me according to your word, I am the handmaiden of God. So that sounds very romantic, but actually the phrase handmaiden means slave. So there's a lot of obedience involved in serving God. So may it be that we also remember the spirit of Mary in bowing down and saying, be it unto me as you have said. I will do your will. And to extend that further, so we know that if we are lowly and downtrodden, it doesn't mean that you have to be very poor to feel downtrodden. Yeah. But if you are, we know that God will come true for us, just like he did for Mary and Hannah, Zechariah, and Simeon saw his salvation. But if you are in the fortunate position, maybe you don't feel so downtrodden, then we have to think about how we are going to partner God in lifting up the humble and the lowly and the poor. How are we going to take our time and energy to partner God in this work? And this may involve, yes, giving materially, but this may also involve giving spiritually, sharing with people what you know about God, not just giving money. This may involve giving relationally, taking the time and energy to get to know people. That does not mean necessarily reaching out to complete strangers. The people around us that we know, we may not know very well, yes, it's COVID times, so can we be a bit more creative and intentional about it and continue to ask God, what is the way that we can give in a way that is pleasing to Him and that we can manage? And I put there as well, lastly, that I think in lifting up the low and the poor, I think we also need to give thoughtfully. In some cases, it may not be money or time or relationships that people want, but one aspect of it is trying to understand another person's point of view. When I was Googling for I was Googling for 2020 top words this year, some of the words that came up were quite surprising to me, but in retrospect made sense. They were words like truth, fear, the cancel culture. So some slang you may not be familiar as like Karen, okay boomer. So words that are quite dismissive of other people. Karen and okay boomer are words used for certain stereotypes of people when you're dismissing them. Okay boomer is saying that you're of a certain age and therefore you will not understand what we're talking about or you don't think the same way. So as we think about lifting up people, I think we also have to consider how in this light of cancel culture and belittling other people, what is the way to be generous, not just with our time and money, but also by trying to understand where other people are coming from. For me, that's one of the hardest things of all. So coming back to Mary, the one who was poor in spirit, the one who was joyful in hope, and triumphant and lifted up, and finally, she was obedient in holding on. She had to wait 9 months before Jesus was born. And even after Jesus is born, do you remember when Jesus started his ministry? Did he come up instantly and he was a superpower savior? How old? 30. Yeah, so 30 is quite old. And if you were Mary looking at your child thinking, yeah, I thought God told me he's going to save Israel. So when is he going to burst out now? So in this meantime, she would be waiting and she would be still doing all her duties as a mother. She had other children after Jesus. So it wasn't like she was twiddling her thumbs just waiting around. So even though she knew God had come through for her and she was joyful, yet she continued her life and she was obedient in holding on to the promises while continuing the daily grind. And in that, she was still able to sing praises to God because she knew what God had done for her. And for us today, as we look at the daily reality and things are a bit grim, we encourage ourselves also to sing to God, to burst into song like Mary did, to make our songs, our prayers, our poems, our dances, because we know of what He has already done for us. Like Mary, we know He's done it, but we haven't seen the full fruition of it yet. So Mary, the one who was poor in spirit, the one who was joyful in hope, triumphant and lifted up, and obedient in hanging on. In this season of Advent, as we reflect on our own situations and prepare for 2021, may we take on some of her character traits in how she looked to God for all this. And may we also be faithful in playing our own parts in our lives. So in our outlook for next year, amidst all this, let us cling on to God for hope. Let us know that He is the one who opens the way. Let us, like Mary, continue to sing for joy. So I hope maybe end of next year, that will be you, that you, us, all of us, will say that we also are poor in spirit looking to God. We are joyful in hope, triumphant and lifted up, or have partnered God in lifting up others, and that we are trying really hard to be obedient in holding on. So as I end, and we think about Mary and her spirit, so we're going to close with a song and a praise dance. If I could invite the brothers and sisters to come on stage and to set up for it. So the song is Come to Him Who is Mighty, and is an interpretation of the Magnificat. Jen, are you around? Yep. Okay, so for the rest of us, let's bow our head. We'll take a minute to think about Mary.